From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs. Many believe the adage, as goes a city's public education system, goes the city. It was a concept in Peoria Mayor Jim Ardis' State of the City address in January. Also in January, a controversy over irregular ISAT test scores for special ed students at Charter Oak School saw the removal of a well-respected principal. A group called Change 150 emerged with vigor as a result last month and launched a successful campaign to oust the only school board member up for re-election. They also want the removal of the superintendent. Apparently, there have also been some acts of intimidation and threats leveled at Peoria District 150 Superintendent Administration and Board of Education. One of the city's most out front African-American pastors stood in front of reporters yesterday to say the Change 150 group is misguided and functioning largely on a racial bias. Pastor Harvey Burnett made his comments despite the fact that the Peoria chapter NAACP is supporting Change 150, and the person Change 150 campaigned to remove from the school board is a white female. We're sharing some of Burnett's comments for this Outside the Horseshoe, Peoria pastor Harvey Burnett speaking to reporters on Monday.
First of all, since the dismissal of the former principal of Charter Oak, John Wedderhauer, both District 150 superintendent and board have come under a great and tremendous amount of attack and criticism. The attack has actually devolved from a difference of opinion and questions of administrative procedures into a rather nasty rhetoric, reprehensible cartoons, demeaning innuendos, personal threats, heckling, blue ribbon tossing on the superintendent's lawn and late night drive-bys, and other tactics that have traditionally been used to intimidate, bully, and otherwise harass those with whom there are differences of opinion. No such attack has been greater than the attack of the group calling themselves Change 150 under the leadership of Jim Powell, the co-founder of the group. When the initial allegations came out about Mr. Wedderhauer, Mr. Powell said this on the Peoria Journal Star: "If there proves to be a problem, then consequences are justified. If there are no problems found, Charter Oak parents are going to demand accountability from a board, from the board and administration for such accusations." Well, problems were found. They were placed in a preliminary report, which records that at least four teachers admitted their contribution to testing irregularities. In that report on page 21, the report outlines that teacher mistakes alone could not account for the variance in test scores. That report then goes on to assert the following two things: that, number one, Mr. Wedderhauer failed to provide the district required training to his staff for ISET testing administration, and that he, Mr. Wedderhauer, also recognized a significant spike in the performance of his special education population in 2010 and 2011, and that he acknowledged that he failed to either report the scores internally to central administration or to individually investigate the increase in scores. We think that these things convey that there was ample proof of a problem. But neither Jim Powell nor his group have remembered that the consequences, quote unquote, should be justified, quote unquote, if that was the case. In light of these facts, we simply ask, why does Change 150 currently exist? The teachers have unions to redress grievances. Parents have an open door, contrary to current speculation. They have parent universities. They have parent-teacher advisory committees, both of which I personally have served on, and opportunities to due process to address any and all issues. So I believe that the questions are appropriate. Why does this group actually exist? We believe the answer to that question goes back far beyond Charter Oak and John Wedderhauer. I believe that this problem speaks to the fundamental issue of utility, money, access, power, and control, and has nothing to do with our children and how they fare within District 150, nor District 150 itself as an entity. This issue deals with who controls District 150. The question is, why do they, whoever they are, want to wrest control from current administration and to themselves at this particular place and time? Let's just go through a quick review. The community has been sold the bill that the Change 150's fight is over the welfare of our children. One of the leaders of this group, however, told me personally that the testing irregularities, quote unquote, only affected 27 children, as if to say that there is an allowable limit for failing our children and ultimately cheating. They claimed that the principal of Charter Oak didn't qualify for reprimand because he was, quote unquote, a likable person. Then we are told that this fight was over employee relationships, delivering the employees from an atmosphere of, quote unquote, fear and intimidation, to which we find that only those who refuse to do their job for which they are hired were ever fearful and or intimidated. Then we are told that this is about a fight over principle and better communication of school policy, to which we find that communication and access has always been available, even if not taken up on. I know this because, as I previously said, in 2012 and 13, I was the lead parent facilitator for parent involvement at the parent universities. I conducted 10 of these meetings and was involved in the development of certain school policies through the Parent Teacher Advisory Committee, which meets currently monthly to discuss various issues and address school policy. None of these people calling themselves Change 150 were at any of these sessions. None were seeking communication about anything until their apple cart was upset. Admittedly, that's the way it usually is. But what I want to examine is why now, and why would another peg to this puzzle, the mayor, jump on board of this shoddy bandwagon in a State of the City address, giving arguments of this sort credibility? I believe the answer is not rooted in District 150 performance, nor is it based on people moving out of Peoria or avoiding Peoria as a residence because of the school district. Both the actions of Jim Powell and the group Change 150 and the statements of our mayor are based on one thing, and that is the limitations established by what I call the power elite of Peoria, who are primarily white, and their establishment of utilitarian values that have long affected the horizon and opportunities of both the black man and the black woman within Peoria. Let's digress for a minute so I make sense to you. Within the 61605 zip code of Peoria, there's nearly a 50% poverty rate. There's nearly 30% unemployment. There's also an abundance of crime and violence, of which we are all aware. In fact, many of you have reported at the scene of many of the crime and violence that have taken place within Peoria. So you know firsthand. Like all people who have traditionally lived in 61605, crime has spread to nearly all parts of the city. 61604 and 61603 are two areas that have been severely affected by expanded crime, for example. Sociologists have looked at trends on crime and have always seen the correlation between crime and education. In fact, it may surprise many to know that the rate at which penal institutions are built is based on third grade standardized reading test scores. Though a good education does not guarantee that an individual will not embrace crime, a good education does, however, equip a person with opportunities to help them avoid crime as a viable option and lifestyle. Peoria is certainly no different. What has Peoria Education done in the past 4 years to address crime in Peoria? Well, certainly more than Jim Powell or any of the critics of Change 150 has done. Allow me to outline the progress. The educational process in Peoria is better over the last 4 years than in any other time in Peoria history. Here's the truth of what has happened in Peoria education over the last 4 years. First, the school district has a balanced budget, even with the state holding over $2 million. The mayor indicated in his State of the City speech that he wanted a relationship with Dunlap 323, but Dunlap is now suffering from a $2 million budgetary deficit and teacher layoffs. They are in a condition that one would question, and certainly we wish them the best, but they're in a condition of unrest. There's been greater and more extensive teacher training in District 150 to teach the students and to reach the students in the seat. Teachers have been and are being equipped to deal with the issues they face every day. This is what the superintendent has delivered to their feet: better training, better systems of opportunity, better support. District 150 has acquired modern and current textbooks to better facilitate modern education, replacing books that in some cases were over 30 years old. There's also a growing PSAE testing percentages from 34 to 42% in reading, from 29 to 37% in math, and from 29 to 34% in science in 2013 alone. In other words, our students in District 150 are preparing themselves better for the next level. We now have technology throughout the school, and learning experiences are relevant. Under the current administration, technology is available in all schools so that even poor children who live in the inner city can learn just like those who are wealthy and who live in more affluent neighborhoods. There are more updated and modernized school facilities and environments. No longer do our children have to go to school in some facilities that are 75 to 100 years old. Construction and redevelopment projects have run sometimes in unforeseen circumstances, but none of them have ever broken budget under this current administration and or board. There's expanded teacher opportunities for professional development and improvements which directly affect the student in their seat. One such development is the use and the implementation of a program called AVID, which much money was spent on to bring new ideas, to bring additional motivation into the classroom to affect our students. Under this administration, teachers are accountable not only to their bosses, but also to parents such as myself. And every good teacher realizes and embraces this concept because they know that good parents are a foundation to educating those children in the seats every day. There is accountability now for the use of Title I dollars, whereas the accountability lacked previously. There's vocational and technical training and opportunities to serve the needs of students who may not choose college, but who want to immediately become a productive part of society when school is over. There is and has been open communication and participation and dialogue through parent universities, as I've stated, and the Parent Teacher Advisory Committee. There's a greater extension of services in which our children have been placed first and foremost. In fact, some services include considerations of reducing and lowering fees for services, the expansion of meal programs such as breakfast and lunch opportunities, the expansion of clothing programs because many of our schools require uniforms, but those programs have been expanded to meet the needs of those who can't afford it. Then there are opportunities of employment for a diverse population of Peoria citizens, and I'm going to focus on that in just a minute. Though District 150 schools aren't perfect, the fact is that our children are better off in educational opportunities today than they were 4 years ago. None of these things happen because of Charter Oak. Contrary to the critics' assertion, the district wasn't failing by doing any of these things I mentioned over the last 4 years. None of these things made one family apprehensive to relocate to Peoria or leave the area over the last 4 years. So what is the real problem? Let's take employment, as I mentioned, for an example. Since our mayor so kindly stated in the city of the address, State of the City address, that District 150 was going in the wrong direction, and I don't believe for a minute that those words were solely his, I took the time to examine, by way of comparison, the direction of the city, and what I found was shocking. Not only does this city fail to have an economic plan that includes black families and black businesses, according to the numbers, the dismal rate of black employment is not even on the city agenda. Why do I say that? Well, listen to these facts. In the last 4 years, of those who identified themselves by race, the city of Peoria has newly hired, rehired, promoted, recalled, or otherwise dealt in situations of employment with a mere 53 black men and women and 14 Hispanic, Asian, or non-white individuals. That's over 4 years. By contrast, District 150, under the leadership of Dr. Granita Lathan, has newly hired, rehired, promoted 786 black men and women, and nearly 74 either Hispanic, Asian, or non-white individuals seeking employment. This means that over 4 years, the city of Peoria has progressively employed nearly 17 non-white individuals on average per year over the last 4 years, while Peoria District 150 has progressively employed nearly 215 non-white individuals on average per year for the last 4 years. Please note that of these 860 non-white individuals that the district has employed, nearly all of them have passed the most stringent employment standards, including drug screens, background tests, and all that the district has put them through. These are citizens who contribute to society as societal standards count. So what do we have? We have a school district that has both a startling financial track record over the last 4 years and a marked and notable educational improvements at nearly every level in favor of both children, families, and employees over the same time frame. We have a school district which has and is doing its share to address Peoria's economic blight by providing jobs on average to over 200 plus individuals per year to some of its most economically distressed citizens. We have a school district which has placed children and employees first by providing more extensive services, no holds barred training, and the procurement of resources and services that have a direct effect on classroom performance of all of our children. So I beg the question to the critic and those who have supported the unfactual motives of those claiming to be Change 150. Where is the sky falling in District 150? Is Rome burning? Exactly what do you want to change? And we want to know the real reason why. Is the sky falling because our children were failing? The evidence says no. And that there is and has been a steady improvement at all area schools. Is the sky falling because our community is suffering because of an unresponsive district? The evidence once again says no. However, I agree that Rome is burning, but burning in a very different way. Peoria, the new Rome, is burning mostly because the white power elite, as I have named them, say that it is burning. And further, like Nero, wants a scapegoat. As we can see, black is apparently expendable within Peoria. I say this because based on the knowledge of the pertinent facts and the prima facie evidence, we can reject notions that our community and schools are suffering because of a failed District 150 or failed policy from administration and leadership. District 150 under Dr. Granita Lathan has not only advanced in spite of a host of challenges, but the mechanisms set in place to help it self-regulate and to protect all of us have worked and gone into operation. The realignment of top employees serves the district multiple ways by eliminating complacency and spreading ideas that work. The goal and the object has been to improve everyone, every place, but the power brokers driving this unrest do not wish that to be so. Theirs is purely self-centered endeavor, and it is to their shame that I speak. Though oppressed, this Peoria is not the same Peoria in which individuals can simply be discarded when their usefulness is fulfilled. We will not allow you, Change 150, or any of your adherents to simply discard people that are delivering badly needed help and resources to the community and allowing education to flourish within the community and especially within the black community in particular. Contrary to what this group wants us to believe, Dr. Lathan is superintendent of all, that's ALL, District 150 schools, including Charter Oak. Her hands are not off limit to Charter Oak or any District 150 school. Those citizens have claimed that their tax dollars should afford them greater access. The tax dollars of the community, the community's non-white citizens, speak just as loudly and pertinently as theirs. District 150 has answered the call of duty, and through its network of fine teachers, administrators, and schools, continues to rise early and stay late to answer that call of duty. Shame on the mayor for jumping on the bandwagon with such a poor record directed toward Peoria's black community. Shame on Jim Powell and Change 150 for creating such an abusive atmosphere that citizens want to stop the business of education at any cost simply to serve the needs and the requirements of the white power elite in Peoria. This stuff did not start happening until they took the steps that they took, until they presented a raw antagonism and the ugliness within the media toward this superintendent, till they facilitated members that stood up and demeaned grown women with degrees, grown individuals who have been hired and entrusted by this community to lead our children and to help reform education. So we believe that this negative atmosphere has been facilitated, if nothing else, by this group, and they should stand up and disavow it totally and repudiate it among anyone that's supposed to represent them. Secondly, they should remove anything from their printed website or printed materials that targets or focuses in on one person, such as they focused in on Dr. Lathan. Listening to this group, we're under the impression that changing one person fixes all needs, and we know that that is not the truth. The district is greater than one person, and they should remove the targeting because it leads into the negative attitudes that we've seen. This group should clearly affirm that its value does not include personal threat, intimidation, or harassment of any member of District 150 and or any board member. This group should disavow their efforts related to restore the job of the on-leave principal, John Wetterhauer. They should respect the business decision that has been made with respect to the rules, if process and procedures mean anything to this group. This group should commit and encourage its members and followers to become actively involved and engaged in delivering positive energy, not disruptions, at parent universities, at school board meetings, at parent-teacher advisory meetings. They should take their place alongside other citizens and parents within this district because clear communication currently exists and all voices are relevant. As I conclude, I want to say in addition to this, in addition to the things that I've set forth, I want to take the time to encourage all families, especially black families, to educate and inform their children on the very real and substantive issues at hand and why we must continue to fight for the relevance, even in 2014. I would like to encourage the Latino and Asian communities to involve themselves in the issue because, as noted, your opportunities as Latin Americans and Asian Americans are severely limited by the status quo attitudes of the power elite of Peoria as well. If the white power elite of Peoria can disrespect educated blacks and lend themselves to the creation of an atmosphere where blacks, no matter their qualifications or record, are easily disrespected and simply discarded because they have reached the limits of their usefulness, according to them, then what are we witnessing? We are witnessing the implementation of the ultimate glass ceiling to Peoria blacks and minorities who have high aspirations. As a community, Peoria citizens of all races cannot idly stand by while we experience the extension of pre-Jim Crow era style tactics simply dressed up in new clothes. And as I said, thank you for coming today. I want you to know that none of these statements are an indictment of the white community of Peoria and should not be taken as such. This is an indictment of a specific group that I have called the white power elite, who feel that they call the shots and make the decisions in Peoria and that their vision or the lack of vision is best for all of Peoria at all costs. We wholeheartedly reject their authority and oversight in this matter and will continue to stand against their advances for the benefit of the entire community, which includes those who suffer from a lack of opportunity. Thank you much.
You've been listening to some of the comments of Pastor Harvey Burnett on Peoria School District 150 he delivered to reporters on Monday. I'm Tanya Kuntz. This is Outside the Horseshoe.